by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
We often try to make the reality of death very acceptable. We seldom like to even say that someone has died, so we'll say things like they've passed away or they've gone home to be with the Lord. Sometimes we'll use other phrases. We'll say they kicked the bucket, or they checked out, or they bit the dust. We have lots of phrases that we'll use to describe the subject of death. Because, my friends, those of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior look forward to spending eternity with Him. But none of us look forward to the process that gets us there. And that process is dying. William Randolph Hearst, who was a well-known newspaper magnate in the early 1900s, built the Hearst Castle, which is in California. And in the 1920s and the 1930s, Hearst would invite all of the elite from Hollywood and all of the political elite to come to his castle or to his home for great parties and banquets. Among his most coveted guests are names like Charlie Chaplin, Cary Grant, the Marx Brothers, Charles Lindbergh, Clark Gable, James Stewart, Bob Hope, Franklin Roosevelt, Calvin Coolidge, Winston Churchill. All of these people would gather for festivities at this great castle. It is said that all conversation was acceptable there. You could talk about politics. You could talk about religion. You could talk about current events. But there was one subject that was banned from all conversation: the subject of death. No one likes to think about death. No one likes to think about dying. And yet, Jesus, in our text today, gives us a lesson, teaches us some practical principles on how one might look at the subject of death, even death of a loved one. We will see how Jesus responded to the death of his dear friend Lazarus. Would you turn to John chapter 11? John chapter 11. John writes, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you were going back there.' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by the world's light. It is when he walks by the night that he stumbles, for he has no light.' After he said this, he went on to tell them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.' His disciples replied, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better.' Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know that he will rise again and in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? And Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, and I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloths around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. As we look at this account, and it's a rather familiar account, we find that Lazarus was sick. We know that he had two sisters. They're identified as Mary and Martha. We know from other biblical accounts that when Jesus visited Bethany, he dined and was put up at their home. This was a time when there were no Holiday Inns. There were no Red Roof Inns. People stayed in someone's home. And Jesus found hospitality in the home of Mary and Martha. And certainly as he was there, their brother Lazarus was also there. And Jesus had really come to love that family. Now, when Lazarus was sick, Mary sent word to Jesus, and it's estimated that he was about 20 miles away at that time, which would have been about a journey of 1 day. I don't know how many of you could walk 20 miles in a day. I don't know that I could, but Jesus, he was the Son of God. He could do that. And so Jesus was a day away from where Lazarus was. And the messenger said, Lord, your friend is now sick. And when Jesus heard that, he responded saying, this sickness will not end in death. Instead, it is for the glory of God. Jesus, even though he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, instead of getting up and heading in their direction, stayed 2 more days. Then Jesus said, let's go back to Judea. And the disciples were really not even in favor of the idea. They were afraid that they were going to be stoned. There were some problems when they were there the last time. And Jesus said, but our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I am going there to wake him up. One of those kinds of phrases that we use to make things easier to understand, easier to accept. And Jesus said, he has fallen asleep. To the disciples, that meant that he will get better. And they did not understand that Jesus was speaking of death. And so John writes and says, Jesus then told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Then he said, I'm glad I was not there so that you could believe. Thomas, who gets the label of being the doubter, is also a pessimist because he says, all right, let's go. We might as well all die, right? What an outlook. And when they arrived there, John tells us that Jesus was already dead for 4 days. It is likely that he would have been buried the day that he died. We know from burial customs that the family and loved ones would have wrapped the body in spices and strips of linen cloth. We know from the account of Jesus' death that there would have been a separate cloth that would have been placed over the face of the individual. And Lazarus was already dead. He was already dead for 4 days. Now, when someone died, visiting the bereaved family was immediate. Close relatives would come. Friends would come. It was considered a social duty for them to come. In addition to that, sometimes they would actually hire mourners. People that were professional mourners would come and they would weep and wail over this departed loved one. During the first week of death, the grieving family would sit on the floor in their home. They were visited by family and friends. This custom is known as a Shavah, and it is still practiced by Judaism today. And Martha heard that Jesus was coming, and being the busy one, probably was eager to run off and meet Jesus. The first thing she said to him is probably a response that many of us would utter when something goes wrong in our lives. Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened. Because so often we will look and blame and question, and that's okay. But very familiar question she asks. So many times we will play a game of what if. I deal with grief counseling each week. And, you know, people will say, well, you know, sometimes I wonder if we had called another doctor. I wonder if we had tried a different hospital. What if? And people will plague themselves with the questions of what if. And then the next thing happens, people will ask why. And then invariably in my grief share group, somebody will say, well, you know, Pastor, we're not supposed to ask why. You want to know how I respond to that? In the book of Psalms, over and over and over again, in the inspired word of God, David asks God why. Why are you so far off? Why have you forsaken me? All of these questions are part of God's inspired word. And yes, my friends, it is not wrong to ask why. And we might ask why. We might say, Lord, why did this happen? Why did you allow this? Why did you choose to answer my prayers in a different way? And that's a normal part of loss and tragedy. But Martha then said, I know that even God will give you whatever you ask. What she was really saying is, in the cultural way, hint, Lord, if you want to do something about this, you could. I know that God will do whatever it is that you ask. And then Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Well, Martha, being a person of faith, said, yeah, I know he will rise again on the last day. I believe that. And then Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked. Making one of his famous I am statements, where he reveals by those words that he is indeed God. He is God and the resurrection and the life. He controls life and death in his very hands. And Martha says, yes, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God. She went and she called her sister Mary aside and she said, the teacher is asking for you. And Mary got up and both sisters went now to Jesus. It says that those who were mourning followed, thinking that she was going off to the tomb, and they followed to see where she was going. And when Mary met Jesus, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Then she fell at his feet. And Jesus saw her weeping. Jesus saw the mourners who had gathered. And it says that his heart was deeply moved. And Jesus wept. Now, I know you all know that because when you had to memorize Scripture, that was your favorite Scripture to memorize, right? John 11:35. Jesus wept. Those that gathered looked and said, see how much Jesus loved him. Others said, hey, wait a minute. This guy was able to give sight to a man who was born blind. Why could he not keep this person from dying? And then Jesus said, all right, take away the stone. Now, when Jesus uttered those words, Martha said, pee you. Now, that's a different translation. King James Version says, by this time he stinketh, okay? They did not have the embalming practices that we practice today. By the fourth day, it would have been like roadkill. It was common. An individual was wrapped in these cloths, smothered in spices, placed in a tomb, and the stone would go in front, and that person would lie there to decompose for 1 year. And at the end of a year, the family would go and collect the bones from there, and there were places that were built into the sides of the cave walls, and they would put the bones in there, and that was the end of it. That's how they handled death. And so they warned, you know, please don't take the stone off of that opening. Certainly by now, there is an odor. Well, Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone. And John reveals to us that Jesus looked up to heaven, and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And in a loud voice, it says, he said, Lazarus, come out. And John records that at once, Lazarus came walking out of that tomb, still wrapped in the grave clothes. And Jesus said, untie him and let him go. Jesus demonstrated that he has power over life and death. Now, I gave four observations on your outline. If you didn't get it out, get it out. And observation one says this. Jesus stated a purpose for Lazarus's sickness and death. Do you remember a few weeks ago when we looked at John chapter 9, the man who was born blind? Jesus said, the people said, well, who sinned, this man or his parents? What did he do wrong that he's been inflicted with blindness? What did his parents do that he's blind? Anybody remember why Jesus said he was blind? To bring glory to God. And here, Jesus says the same thing. Lazarus is sick in order to bring glory to God. Why was Jesus so laid back? Why did he not go dashing off? You know, because of who Jesus is, not only was he is not bound by time and space. In reality, Jesus could have been at Lazarus' side that quickly. Do you recall? As he appeared on the Sea of Galilee as they were crossing over. You know, just real quick, he was there. He could have been there. Yes, he could have been there. But he trusted that God knew what he was doing. How do we face sickness? How do we face death? How do we deal with that? You know, anyone who has experienced the loss of a close loved one really knows the pain that comes with that loss. Many times there are not even words to say that can be of true comfort. Very difficult to lose someone that we love. And then we're full of questions, and we'll ask, why did this happen? Could there not have been another way? Been in your bulletin, it was in the slideshow, and I purposely didn't mention it until now. But this week, the bishop of the EC Church was tragically killed in a single car accident. Driving down a road, details sketchy, lost control, went down an embankment, hit a tree, car burst into flames, and he was dead. 53 years old, the leader in our denomination, a man of great faith, a man of great vision, a man with passionate love for the Lord, an intense vision for the EC Church, gone. A week earlier, he led our national conference, and then with no announcement, with no warning, he was snatched away. And I attended that funeral yesterday. Jeanette and I were there, and Doris, and Bishop Mike mentioned that we were gathered to bring glory to God. I want to tell you, through all the weeping, through all the emotion, God was glorified. God was glorified because when one has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is victory. Now that doesn't take away the pain. That doesn't take away the sorrow. But there's tremendous hope. And so when we experience difficulties, we must understand that there is a purpose. And my friends, we may not understand on this side of heaven what that purpose is. But we need to know this. The God who created us, the God who loved us enough to clothe himself in flesh like ours and die for us, has not made one mistake yet. And we can trust whatever his sovereign will is. His ways are not our ways. His purposes may not be clear to us, but we can trust his sovereign will. Observation 2. Jesus was not bound by parameters of time. Being in the grave for 4 days was no big deal for Jesus. Time and eternity are in His hands. Sometimes we say, oh, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and God delayed and delayed and delayed and we get so frustrated. God's timing is always on time. Why does God sometimes appear to us as one that waits till the last minute? Well, there's all kinds of reasons that they give us, and none of us make us feel better about waiting. We say, oh, God is building patience in us, or teaching us how to trust, or helping us to be a good example to others. You know, none of those things make me feel better when I'm waiting for an answer to prayer, when I'm waiting for God to do something. But God is always on time. For centuries, all the way back from the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, for centuries, people looked for that Redeemer to come and believed by faith that God would send the one that would redeem them from the penalty of sin. And in Galatians 4:4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. The time for Jesus to be born had come. It was the right time. We don't understand some of the timing that we see in our relationship with God and the way He works and moves in our lives. But just as He has never made one mistake, His timing is always, always perfect. And we need to learn to trust. Observation 3, Jesus had pity on those who were mourning. He was filled with pity so much to the point that He wept. Every once in a while, I'll hear someone say, well, you know, as Christians, when we know that that person was a Christian and they went to be with the Lord, we shouldn't mourn as those that have no hope. Well, that's biblical, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't mourn. That doesn't mean we shouldn't grieve. That doesn't mean we shouldn't weep. Jesus wept. We may have wonderful hope that we will see that person again. And yet in compassion and sadness, we experience that loss. And it hurts. And God created us with an intellect and a will and emotion. And we ought to be able to express those emotions. Jesus, who never sinned, wept. He had compassion for the hurting. And He has compassion for us as well. You know, some of you here today might be grieving the loss of a loved one. You might be hurting and brooding through other kinds of difficulty and challenges in life. Know this, you are not alone. You might feel alone. You might say, where is anybody? Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody understands the pain. You're wrong. Jesus understands perfectly. And He is compassionate toward you. And He will give you the strength and the help that you need. I want to tell you something. And maybe I've said this before, maybe I haven't. When we face difficult times, we have two choices. We can either shake our fist at God and walk away, or we can find ourselves wrapped in the loving arms of God. When my first wife passed away relatively suddenly, I have told people many times, I have never felt closer to God. Because in my utter helplessness, God was so present. God is compassionate, and He cares deeply for us. Observation 4. Jesus had the power to raise the dead to life. He simply said, Lazarus, come out! And Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days, stinking up the place, walked out of that tomb. This demonstrates that Jesus has power over death. It was a foreshadow of his own resurrection, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in him, even though they die, will never die. We have life in him. Three questions this morning. In what way or ways do you need to learn to trust God's purposes and his timing? Perhaps you have been praying for something to happen, and you're still waiting on an answer. Maybe it's an unsaved loved one. Maybe a child or a spouse or a parent that you've been praying for them to come to know Christ, and it seems like God isn't even listening. Maybe you've been waiting for God to do some transformational work in someone's heart, or better yet, your own. Maybe you're waiting for a wayward child to turn and come back to faith. Maybe you're waiting for someone who is sick to be healed. Can you trust God's purpose and God's timing? Can you? Second question, do you believe that Jesus is compassionately concerned about your hurts and problems? You know what? We are going to face challenges. We are going to face disappointment. Sooner or later, we will face loss. Things do not go the way we would like them to go. The jobs are not what we think they are. You know, no longer can you go get the job at a factory or at some place, some business, and think that I can work there, earn a good living, and retire well. Everything's uncertain. There are really no certainties today in those ways. Wages are cut. Jobs are lost. Maybe the problem that is causing the distress in your life has to do with relationships. You know, try as we want, people have minds of their own, and we can't make them do what we want them to do. And maybe there's a strain. Maybe there's a difficulty. Maybe we're even dealing with death, which is irreversible. We can't even wait for something to change. Because unless Jesus raises them up, it's not going to. Do you believe that Jesus is compassionately concerned about the hurts that you are experiencing? He wept with Lazarus, with Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. Jesus is compassionately concerned about whatever is on your heart. And we need to cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. And then the final question. Do you believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life? My friends, that's the big question. You see, because the one who believes will live even though he dies. When we believe that Jesus is God's Son and that he died as our substitute, that he paid the penalty for our sin in our place, and we trust him as our Savior, death is defeated. Death has no more sting. The grave has no more power. Because for the one who believes that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, at the moment of death, one goes from death in this life to life in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absent from the body is present with the Lord for the believer. Sadly, the one who does not believe is condemned. And John tells us he is condemned because he has not believed in God's one and only Son. And so, of all the questions you need to answer today, trust and believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I want this morning to give you a couple moments. Look at your notes, think about what we said, and pray. I want you to ask yourselves, just bow your heads, take a few moments in silent prayer. Ask yourself, what do I need to learn about trusting God's timing and His purposes? What burdens and difficulties do I need to take off of my shoulders and lay at the feet of Jesus and seek His comfort and His presence and His help? And if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and placed your faith in Him, you need to answer this question: do I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? If you will believe that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin, in that He went to the cross as your substitute, would you, in the quietness of your heart, just confess before Him your need of a Savior, your need of forgiveness? Would you confess with your mouth that you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and that He rose again from the dead? And would you commit, even now in this quiet moment, to say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to learn more about Him. I want to trust. Father, in another couple quiet moments, just speak to our hearts, wherever we are, whatever's going on. Speak to hearts, Father. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are the resurrection and the life, that the one who believes in You will never die. Lord, we thank You that You are compassionate and caring and loving. Whatever it is that we carry, whatever burdens or difficulties that we face, You are ever willing to come beside us and help us and strengthen us. And Lord, even as we face loss and grief, You are compassionate. And You are able to heal even those that grieve, even those that mourn. Your word tells us that they will be comforted. And Lord, we thank You that You are the God of all comfort. Father, thank You for what You have taught us this day. Apply Your word to each heart. And we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.